Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, it's Friday afternoon and we're here in BTN Pro. Oh, and we've gone blank. We're going to do that periodically. Awfully sorry. Hello, it's the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple. Nothing's happened really, I suppose, that you haven't already covered. If you're wondering where the Apple keynote on video went, I couldn't get the video file down to under 500 meg, which is what our limit is on WordPress. And I couldn't post it. So we just posted the audio. But that's good enough because you can watch the Apple keynote along with it. If you sync them up, you'll be fine. You'll be all right. Joining me to discuss what was an absolutely riveting keynote. Three people that were, that were there with me on the night. First one, top left, it's Lee. How the devil are you, brother?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. Almost a weekend, nice weather in the UK, so lots of stuff to be happy about.
You know it's stopping, don't you?
Well, yeah, I'm expecting a thunderstorm any minute.
Yeah, there's massive thunderstorms creeping over the channel like a bunch of illegal immigrants. And they'll be here soon, so...
If you lose me at some point, then it's because the storm's taken out my connection.
Saturday and Sunday, mate, are the bad days, and then it's clearing up on Monday, apparently.
Oh, don't say that.
No, it is. Don't you read the weather forecast?
It was looking all right for me.
You've got a watch.
I'm going to have to check it again. When I looked at my watch earlier, it was all right, but I'll have to check again.
No, it's knackered. I suppose maybe because you're in the hills there, aren't you?
Yeah.
It all skirts over the top of you. It rises up, so... Thins out before.
Fingers crossed.
Next to him, it's Doc. How you doing, brother? Big and early. I'm awfully sorry, pal, but thank you very much.
Hey, it's all good. I'm here.
Yeah, and you're on a wired connection. You look juicy, mate.
Thank you. That's what Batwin says.
That was just like a comment. It doesn't mean anything. It's not a bromance or anything. It's just like, dude, you look good.
It's all right. I'm feeling extra romantic today.
Good man. Good man. We'll hug later. And last but by no means least, our bro from from Deutschland, it's Patrice. How you doing, brother?
Hey, pretty good. Pretty good. Thanks. I've got a question. I heard it's already fall in the UK.
It's already fall?
Yeah.
What does that mean? It's already autumn? No. Why?
No. Someone mentioned that summer was last Tuesday.
No, actually, yesterday was me and Jack were in the office here, and we got a fair old bit done. Actually, it was great. Oh, it was a good day.
Okay.
But we had all the windows open. There was a nice little breeze coming through, keep us cool. And it wasn't until the afternoon it got a bit sticky, but it was piping hot here.
Piping hot here too today. So finally summer. Cool. And Doc Grock is probably wondering, what are those guys talking about?
For sure.
Summer, winter, fall.
I mean,
what's that?
It's blazing hot right now, though. The weather here is running about 27 to 28 based off of your guys' calculations.
Oh, that's all right. That's not bad.
It's sweaty, though, because it's the humidity is just dumb.
See, that's surprising because you're an island, but we're an island. But generally, we don't suffer with humidity because we're an island, I think.
Mm. Well, you're above the tropic line. We're below the tropic line.
Yeah, okay.
And we are constantly suffering from high humidity and all that crap. Yeah. I don't know why, but it just happens here. And I'm in the middle of the freaking continent.
Well, Germany's you get high temperatures and extremely low temperatures because of the landmass that you're in. So
that's right.
Center of our country, Shrewsbury's always the hottest point and the coldest point in any point. Anyway, enough about weather. Jesus Christ! I know.
Sorry,
the keynote that bad.
The keynote was that bad. Yeah, absolutely. No, actually, I've got to say straight off the bat, I thought the keynote was absolutely frigging awesome for the first hour and a half. Even I had wood, and I make Apple earn the plaudits from me. I don't give them out lightly, and I was pleased with that as a keynote. I thought it was really, really good. I thought they really went for the developers properly. I thought they did a top job, and then music, and then Eddie Q's old man dancing.
you said it properly, Ewan, and this has been somewhat of a terror for the media for the last two keynotes. I hopefully for the next keynote, WWDC keynote, that is, they will learn their lesson and leave it go. Last year was the first WWDC keynote that was sort of driven directly at developers and developer only. They kind of pushed the consumer stuff to the back room. This year, they gave the consumer stuff pretty much the finger until you got to music. Mm-hmm. And it's good. I mean, it's really hard to get to that show. You spend tons and tons of money. Maybe one of the first things you don't want to do if you spent all this time and effort to get there is waste a lot of time hearing, you know, branded issue computer, consumer stuff. So I think it is great, as it should be. It says Worldwide Developers Conference, not Worldwide Developers and Consumers Conference. So it's good that they actually focused on developers and the stuff that they did, primarily with El Capitan and iOS 9 and watchOS and Swift 2, are things that developers are all in love with because it's going to make it easier. Yeah. And I've only just started digging into developer kit properly because I have an app now and paying people to do it. I got to make sure that they're on their game. So I watched the deep sessions this time and I can follow them. And I don't consider myself a developer rocket scientist. I can PHP, but I can follow all the stuff they're doing and some of the game kit stuff, some of the sprite. Oh my God, it's mind blowing.
The chat room is taking the piss a little bit out of me here. Deep Pan saying creepy Uncle Eddie. that might stick.
And the other day I heard, a pretty good argument why Apple put the music stuff in this WWDC keynote. And according to, I don't know, some podcast, probably ATP, it's because, I mean, they are offering a 3-month free subscription. And if you do the math, that comes up to, I mean, July, August, September. So at the end of September, you will reach the point where people have to pay for it. And that is exactly the time where we get new iPhones, probably. I mean, it's very likely that we get the middle, towards the end of September, we get new iPhones. So it's almost ideal. It's creating a lot of buzz for a new device. And I think that's why. Because otherwise, they would have needed to push it back to September, probably. And that would reach into Christmas. And I don't think that would have worked.
I think the family plan's a big thing as well. I mean, we were doing kind of a family plan on Spotify, but that price that they've got for up to 6 members is stunning. I think the price that they've got, I think they're going to get a lot of people. I'm not sure they're going to get Android people over from Spotify, but I think there might be a lot of iOS users. I've certainly spoke to a few of my family already, and they didn't know about it when I told them and showed them a bit on the website. They were like, I'm definitely signing up for that trial. And a lot of them are in families of more than 4 people. So I think that's where Apple are competitive, is that family plan.
But I think that entire conversation that we've just had is actually what describes the keynote. Music actually had a whole lot of stuff in it, which was pretty good, that was pretty cool. Bit of catch up to Spotify, I thought. And I don't think they've really leapt ahead of Spotify, but they've done well with the pricing and they've given some competition to Spotify, which is what it was needed. But... Mm-hmm. It was lost because they did it at the end of all the other stuff. People had got to them like, right, that's great. That's WWDC. That's the end of it. And they went, and another thing, music. And you're like, actually, we're already an hour and a half in. I've had enough. I'd rather you just stopped. Why don't you do music next month? It was utterly wrong. In terms of 101 presenting, don't bring out a massive product that lasts an hour right at the end of a 2.5-hour keynote after everyone's had enough at 1.5 hours. It's the worst style of presentation ever, but music had a shed load of stuff that was really cool.
The thing is, even with the hour at the end, even if you were okay with it, they didn't get the point across. I mean, it was weirdly non-Apple-like. They usually are pretty good at getting across what it's about and what are the key features and why you should care about it. But, I mean, we had to read up on it afterwards to even understand what was going on.
I think some of the stuff isn't fully baked.
Hang on, Doc. Let Lee finish his point. Go, Lee.
No, sorry. I was just saying that Patricia's right. They did go through a lot of stuff, but it wasn't a concise kind of like bullet-pointed list of, this is how much you pay and this is what you get, just at a really high level. It was, this is Connect and you do this. This is, you know, I'm still not fully clear on how playlists and radio and all that kind of stuff works, you know, and iTunes Match as well. You know, does it include iTunes Match? Some people say yes, some people say no. So, yeah, it wasn't a very clear message.
Yeah, no. Sorry, Doc, go ahead now.
No, I was going to say, I think that part of it is maybe, you know, like Patrice said, and it does make a lot of sense when you put it down that way, with the calculations for what they have to do in order to get it ready for September, maybe a lot of the finite details aren't fully baked yet. So they want to have some slush room to play around. The only time that in a keynote like that where they're super, super wishy, you'll notice soon after the thing releases, a bunch of rampant, really fast moving changes happen. So maybe the details are still a little soft, or they may have been rushed. Mm. Who knows? Because you're right, it definitely didn't feel like them.
One thing I have noticed is last couple of days, I cancelled my Spotify subscription. Obviously with this coming out, just to give it a go. And I've been using iTunes Match again, and I've noticed the performance on iTunes Match a hell of a lot better than it was last time I used it, probably a couple of months ago. Mm. There was always, when I'd start play, it was always not a massive delay, but it was, maybe sometimes 10, 15 seconds before the song played. But I tried it like the last few days, like I said, and it's been pretty much dead on as soon as you hit play. So they're obviously ramping up the back end. Yeah,
mm-hmm. You mean the ones with the cloud on it? Things that have the cloud logo on your phone, you mean?
Yeah. So if I hit those and play them, they're just playing straight away for me now.
I'm muting because I don't want any, copyright stuff to come up. I want to try because I have given up on it because it was a pain in the butt.
No, I did too. I mean, I did it as a way of almost having my library backed up and available to me everywhere. But then I got into using Spotify and I just kept auto renewing it. But with Apple being what they are with their cloud services, the last thing they want is when this radio stuff comes out and the new service to come out, the Apple Music to come out, they're going to be stuffed if no one can actually listen to anything. Given their reputation with cloud services, I don't need to tell everybody, what
well
they are on that, but that definitely seems to have improved for me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the point. They have worked on it and they have improved when it comes to cloud stuff. I mean, iCloud most of the time works, not many issues with iTunes at all. So, it's overall, they are getting better at it. I mean, even Siri is now pretty reliable. I haven't had any issues.
They're using Amazon backend, right?
A booker in the chat room says, where can I learn how to do the Eddie Q dance? It's a special place called 50 Plus, mate. Please.
What is that? What is that dating service like eHarmony for old people, our time?
Cougars.net? I don't know.
Lee Peterson, you are a gentleman and a scholar, regardless of what Ewan says to you, because you are dead solid correct. Like, you click on it and it plays. Before, I used to click on it and I would want to throw my phone across the room because I'm like, I'm pressing this so that I can go do something and I'm waiting. It's slowing me down. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it. They've ramped up their capacity, haven't they?
My interesting thought really, though, is what's the demographic of iTunes? Because I sit and look at Spotify, and I think Spotify is something that's kind of, it feels like it does more for our age group, the 50s to 25s. It doesn't seem to do an awful lot. Excuse the mad transition effect from my Canon camera that's on acid. It doesn't look like it does. It doesn't feel like it's an under 16s type thing or an under 20s type thing as much. I've got Jack in the other room. I should have asked him in and he can comment on it. But there's a bit with the app, especially with the Beats Radio type stuff. There was a bit of that where I was sitting looking, thinking, actually, I would have thought the demographic for iTunes are the people that are 22, maybe 25 at the lowest end, but probably 25 or 30 to 50, 60 perhaps, probably use iTunes heavily. And I don't think that Beats Radio stuff is going to hit them. So I'm not entirely sure that absolutely everything, although Doc would defend it and say, no, it's cool. They're playing the modern music and that kind of thing. Fair enough. But I think there's an awful lot of old farts use iTunes and probably would use iTunes Match and probably use Spotify. So there's a question whether Spotify is going to get those people leave to go to Apple Music or not. But I think the competition is fantastic. I think $14.99 for the family thing is just unbelievable.
Well, you know why that is though, Ewan, right? Because I figured, and I'm different, I'm a total different case, but I started DJing when I was like 15. I was a radio DJ at 19, but at 19 to 25, when anybody jumped in the car and I would hand them four CD books and be like, hey, find something to play. They would go, oh my God, you have so much music. Now I would look at that and four CD books, each one held 200 a piece. That puts like 800 albums. Okay. At this point, my collection is probably five times that much, But part of the reason is because I'm an old geezer. So like I have 70s music, 80s music, 90s music, you know, 2000s, and now the 20-teens, and pretty soon the 2020s. So we need that because we have such a plethora of choice. I think a lot of the kids that you're talking about in the younger demographics, they're still on maybe their first 100 to 200 albums that they love. The one thing that they do have that's different from us is their version of music discovery is so much faster and so much easier to obtain, where our music discovery was grab a bite to eat and hang out at Towers for 6 hours on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they don't get to do that anymore. We got to do that. We enjoyed the best part of it. But like when I wanted to hear a cool ska from the UK, because I was a ska fanatic, yo, it was hard, man. I had to crawl all around the city and get on the subway and go to another store. And I'd be like, hey, did you get my, you know, ska stuff in? Nope, not yet. You know, we're still waiting on the guy or my friend in London sending it to me. But yeah, now, but they can just pull it up. So it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you the thing that's been interesting for me, not using Spotify for a couple of days and going back to using my iTunes Match, is I've been discovering all the old music I used to listen to. It's really weird. I've gotten so used to using playlists on Spotify and just, you know, going through, you know, random songs or things that I you know, I'm into at that time. But it's been great going back to iTunes Match and going back through things I've not listened to for like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, you know, and just rediscovering it. It's strange, but it's just something I've noticed in the last couple of days. It's been good, actually, just for a change.
And Deepan in the chat is saying something I think I agree with, that the quote-unquote old farts are the ones that should be targeted because they have the disposable income. And I think there is something to it, and that is probably, like Ewan said, the demographic of iTunes in general. Because that's what we grew up with.
Yeah, I mean, all my relatives that are a lot younger than me, they just use YouTube for their video, their music. You know, my relations around kind of my age, a lot of them use iTunes or Spotify, but the younger guys, the younger generation, YouTube is where they're getting their music from.
Yeah, this is YouTube through and through. I mean, I looked at the family thing thinking, well, the kids have both got iPads, so it'll work on their iPads. It's perfect. But actually, Ellis can watch anything he wants anywhere on YouTube. So.
Yeah.
Beats Radio is free. They reminded me in the chat room, says Big Russ. Disposable income. all of my disposable income has been disposed of, says Windrider.
Yeah, that does.
And they're off on Ewan. Can you recommend a good tripod? Manfrotto. Don't buy anything else. Anything that's Manfrotto is worth having. Everything else.
Beats is basically Radio 1, isn't it? Beats 1 is Radio 1.
Yeah, which is another good reason to not listen to it.
Yeah, and I'm not particularly into popular music, and I sound like an old fart now, but you know what I mean? I'm more into indie and alternative stuff, so it doesn't really, you know.
I don't listen to anything in the hit parade.
Called Beats 1 or is I think indicative for there being more channels soon.
The question for me is
is this model of radio, so something that is playing 24/7, you can just tune in and listen to whatever is on right now, is this still something we as a society or we as users really want?
Well, you know, what's what I was going to tell you too, you're speaking about the being indicative of sort of what they're doing. It's the same thing here. We have Westward One. Westward One is the same thing. You know, it's like that really super, super generic, almost pay-for-play pop music station. And I'm kind of like Lee, you know, like I was an alternative kid growing up. And then, you know, when hip-hop was definitely alternative at the time, and now it's, you know, super mainstream. But, you know, I don't want to poo-poo their radio chances just yet, because there are cases where I don't listen to the radio, but there are cases where I will pop the radio on. And for instance, and that's sometimes like if I know I have a client coming in and I don't know what to do with my Spotify station because I don't want to tweak anybody off, because a lot of times I have these, you know, grannies that will come in and want to get stuff made for their kids, I will quickly switch over to one of the super generic, like, you know, CBS national radio stations, because that's safe. And then as soon as Granny leaves, yo, it's back to the Jay-Z. You know, I'm dropping F-bombs and engraving. But, you know, when someone pops in, that's the safe move. So I guess having done what they call CHR radio here, or contemporary urban hits, I can understand why so generic as far as that goes. It does give them the opportunity to turn around just like BBC and do the 2, 3, 4 and whatever else, get it down the chain. So I look forward to a little bit of spice coming in somewhere around in the fall once they realize, you know, what's going on, what's happening with numbers, and enough people complain about Bieber tracks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you still like radio stations? The answer is I actually really adore radio. What I hate is DJs. And I don't mean that offensively, Doc, but all you...
No, I say it every day.
And all you get on some of the channels is just a bit of music and then some dick stroking his knob effectively with his own ego. And that goes to the women as well. And then you might get a bit more music. And then there's a phone in and you get Auntie Smith from down the road who says that she works in a butcher's shop and she's got 10 minutes break and she's ringing in to win 20 grand. And you're just like, oh, piss off. Just play some music.
It's so bad
all
now.
Music all the time. Hey. No tossers. That's all I need.
Yeah,
that could be a new radio station.
When I listen to it now, I am so mad at my craft. And what's really funny is currently, this week, my business partner from China is in town. He was my boss at the radio station back in the day. And my friend Lanai, we were the three kings of radio back in Hawaii. We had like the highest rankings, everything. And we all listen to it now and go, radio is absolute shite. It is so bad. These kids crack the mic and they don't think what they're going to say before they say it. Everybody goes to instead of studying and doing research and having creative things to say, everybody goes through the super easy political jokes or racist jokes, which aren't even funny. If they're funny, it's all right, but they're not even funny. So they're doing, it's kind of like the comedians that just go on stage and swear for 20 minutes trying to be Richard Pryor. Yo, Richard Pryor was a legend. You can't just go up there and be drunken, sweary comedian, sorry, Ewan, and think that you're Richard Pryor. That's not the same. He had pain. He had a problem, and that problem came out in his craft, so his swearing and his craziness was there. You know, you can't go up and wear a dress and be Eddie Izzard. It doesn't work. You have to know what you're doing. And too many of the guys now are just trying to shortcuts. And it hurts my heart. Like, it's like watching someone ruin your craft.
No, it is. It's poor. It's really poor. Ewan, do I stroke my CDs with my knob? CD? Jesus.
What's a CD?
It's Mulebiker. He just got the Sony Yellow Walkman that doesn't skip when you run.
Apple Music doesn't play via Sonos, but it's no good for me. There is a workaround for that. If you follow Darren Wheatley on Twitter and Paul Wheatley, at Paul Wheatley on Twitter, you'll see a little conversation between the two of them about how to get music to play on your Sonos device. You need an Apple AirPort.
AirPlay.
But it does work. Yeah. It does work. So
that's what I do for my podcasts. So... of course it works.
So yeah, are they releasing Beats LBC for cab drivers? It's deep ban. And radio's dead, long live radio, video killed the radio star, and the mobile killed the video stars.
There's something to that.
That's a bit long for a show title, Muller, but yeah, okay. Point taken. Right, so let's go back to the keynote and let's talk about El Capitan. Stupidest friggin' name for an OS that there's ever been.
I understand it now. I've listened to a few podcasts and thought about it.
I understand it now too. Because you guys are from here.
Because El Capitan is the huge knob that's in the middle of Yosemite.
It's within Yosemite, isn't it? So they're saying it's Yosemite that's been fixed, basically.
Yeah, basically. It's Snow Leopard for Yosemite. That's all it is. I mean, because it's not enough to call it a new mountain yet. So it's just Snow Leopard for Yosemite. Simple.
Right.
I'm certainly not complaining about what they've done to it, though. I mean, I'm a bit, the name's going to take a bit of getting used to, but, you know, the performance stuff, the split view, there's loads of things in there that I'm really looking forward to using. And it's even like the little thing with the, you know, the cursor where you move your mouse around and the cursor goes massive.
Yeah.
I'll use my cursor all the time on RMA. It's just like...
Yeah. The only thing they haven't fixed now, but I mean it's early, it's beta 1, it's the Wi-Fi issue. It returned.
Is it?
I'm having massive issues with Wi-Fi on my MacBook.
I'm
as I said, it's beta 1, so keep calm.
Well, no, having said that, I mean, it was, you know, Yosemite was doing pretty well, and then they cocked up the Wi-Fi. It was only about 8.3 that it went tits up. I thought there was some really cool stuff in there. Notes, I nearly got wood. I swear there was a stirring in my man parts when they went through notes.
Well, and the reason is, you say that
I used to use OneNote. I used to use OneNote, and OneNote, as was going back to 2006, is what Notes is now going to become. And I absolutely loved it.
Oh my God. That is so funny. iBookery just said, hello, big boy, is this making your cursor grow massive? And then you said Notes has made you kiss wood. So,
Now, Wheatley took the piss out of the size of my cursor on the screen. I've got a 34-inch screen. And he said, God, that cursor's huge. I'm like, it's a big screen. I'm an old fart with bad eyes. Jesus. Yeah. It's a big cursor.
I'm with you, Ewan, on the Notes thing, because I don't know how the transition went, but I was really, really big into using NVAlt, you know, and I love NVAlt. NVAlt's amazing. Probably when the iPhone 6 came out or somewhere about that time, I started doing all this stuff in Notes because I was just like, you know, I want to try this. And I have like four different machines I got to tip back and through. And my other sync solutions weren't working the way I wanted to. So I kind of defaulted back to Notes. And I've hated it and loved it. And I was like, man, this only needs a couple of little things to make it right. It needs that that vinegar added to the chips, if you will. And they did it. They did it straight. They added the vinegar to the chips. I almost said fries, people. I'm American. Leave me alone. and now it's freaking amazing. I can't wait to just make these checklists. Like, I've been wanting to do that for the longest time because that's something that I do, especially when you're traveling. Right before you leave, you got to run through that checklist because I have gone all the way to the airport and not had my passport.
The only problem, though, with the Notes app that I've seen, I've not personally tried it, but there's no watch. There's no watch app. So things like checklists are so useful on the watch.
To-dos as well would be
things
awesome.
Things like going shopping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Having it, you know, I'm not having to pull my phone out. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that comes
I think
in
they'll
on
pull
it.
That they through do. Reminders. I think they'll find a way to round trip. They'll find a way to round trip it with reminders. Like, as a matter of fact, hold on. I just noticed something the other day, and I haven't totally switched over yet. I had some reminders in my notifications, and in the latest update to iOS on the phone, it came out looking just a wee bit different. So I'm pretty positive that's probably how they're going to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the other thing that was dead interesting as well was the fact that the developer program's now gone to $99 all platforms. And I thought that was one of those things that until they did it, I thought, yeah, that's long overdue. But but I hadn't thought about it until it happened. And I was like, yeah, that makes total sense. Why the hell have they done that before?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would guess most developers were paying for both anyway, so it just makes, I'm guessing it makes things easier, and they can unify a few things in the UI and stuff like that. So
but the thing is, if they'd have said, look, we're going to $140, but you now get developer kit for everything, people would have gone, yeah, cha-ching, no problem. And they've given it away at $99 for everyone, which is fantastic. I don't know whether they're going to attack the public with that as well, so people want the
And the other thing that changed is you can now install apps with a free program. So, I mean, that's especially important for students, or, I mean, if you just want to try something, want to learn development at home, but you don't want to pay $99 for it for whatever reason, because you don't need it or you don't have the money, or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's cool, because that was a hurdle before that you could develop, but you couldn't really test on device, even if it was just for yourself.
I think that blending of the dev kits is amazing, because, you know, what's funny. Wait, I'm going to go like a little bit guessy here, and I don't really normally like this, but we've been talking about the convergence of OS and mobile operating system for a minute or so, right? I'm going to say probably like 2 or 3 years, everybody's been on it. It's coming. Each version of iOS and the standard OS has slowly started to blend more and more and more and more. And now, if you give them a single developer platform and people don't have to pay for two, and it's easier for the students to get involved, I think you're opening up the first tool needed in order to get a truly decent working convergence OS. And I say that with trepidation because Satya Nadella and his homeboys kind of got the lead on that right now.
Yeah.
And Apple hasn't had to fight off that for a while. Even when they were losing, they were still better. Now they're not losing, but Satya Nadella and his homeboys, yo, Windows 10 and Windows Phone 10 or whatever the heck they keep changing their name for, that's an amazing play right there. So I don't think Apple's necessarily rushing because of them, because it's something that's been on the wall for a long time.
They started down that route last year with Yosemite and iOS 8, because if you were in the iOS developers program, you would get a free beta version of OS 10, and that wasn't the case before. I mean, of course, there was a reason for it, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to test all the continuity and handoff features, because you needed Yosemite for that. So it made sense, but I think that this was Apple was planning on doing this for more than a year now.
So I'm saying, I'm not laughing at you because of what you said. It's just how you, because Hanover is Germany, handoff.
Yeah.
You always want to say Hanover, but this is not that
for some
club.
Weird reason.
Germany, that's right.
Anything else in El Capitan that we want to take the piss out of?
I'm the fanboy here, so nothing really got me as this is dumb.
What about Metal?
The name,
I thought Metal looked pretty
Metal
cool.
Metal is going
to
be
although
awesome.
the demo of Metal was crap. The video, the video game that they got to play with it was just disgusting in terms of quality. The Blossom Field from last year was significantly better in explaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was a poor selection, that game.
This is what I feel about that. I don't know why that Twitter link came out again. I feel that for some reason, maybe it's demographics that they know about the developers thing. They went for the game stuff. And I heard it mentioned earlier, as you go through and you start looking at the Metal video after, you know, you can watch all the sessions. I watched it and I'm not in any intention on making a game, but the secret on the sauce is every developer has a game in them somewhere. They just haven't written it yet. So it's something that developers can understand right away, because being a game developer was kind of the piece de resistance, if you will. But as a user, in the sense of like what you're doing and what I do, I would have loved them to show me how this is going to affect, you know, guys like MacFun, or how this is going to affect, you know, Lightroom and Photoshop, and, you know, even photos for their own stuff. Like, I would have loved this or Final Cut or After Effects. I would love to have seen that. So if you do have to take a piss at anything, it would be the Metal demo was relatively soft, considering how epic the technology actually is.
Yeah. One question. Did I miss it, or didn't they talk about extensions in Safari? Because they are overhauling the whole plugin / extension thing in Safari in El Capitan. There's even an extension, I don't know, store, portal, whatever you want to call it.
The only thing I remember with Safari where they were sharing about how you could pin websites, so kind of like tabs. Did you see that one? That looked pretty smart, actually.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything about extensions. So.
Mm.
There's a couple Safari extensions that I absolutely love. And I would love for those to get better, because that's the one thing, like, okay, Chrome can be a pain in the butt at times, but their extensions can be good and useful if you're doing certain things. So we've definitely needed some pickup on extensions. So it'd be nice to see that easier to do. And there's a couple that I've wanted to write myself. And from, again, what I was looking at the sessions after the session, it does seem like that's going to be a lot easier to tackle.
One thing that stood out for me, just on Mac OS, maybe that'll lead us into iOS as well, is the search. I love the fact that you could say, you know, show me all documents I worked on last week, or show me all images from, you know, July last year. I haven't tried it. I haven't got any of the betas on any of my machines to try it, but that looked fantastic. And it's the same with iOS. Obviously, that looks great as well, that new proactive assistant and spotlight changes.
It's a slight, tiny little Sherlock on HudaSpot.
Yeah.
If you've ever used HudaSpot.
I've not used that
which
one.
Which is a great program. You don't need it anymore because El Capitan is going to take care of that.
Yes. Okay.
What about WatchOS then? Where do we sit with the changes in WatchOS?
Stoked.
Yeah.
Super stoked.
Yeah, I can't wait for native apps. Just this morning, I went up for a walk this morning and I just wanted to check. I think it was Dark Sky or something like that. And I just flicked, you know, went to load it and it just never did. It never actually got there. I ended up having to turn it off, turn it back on again. But I can't wait for native apps to come.
I think the native apps thing was quite an interesting tell because one thing I took from that was they shipped the watch before that was put in, because as the watch is currently shipped, it didn't need any upgrades ever for anything because it relied entirely on the phone. And the watch therefore has to be upgradable. Otherwise, everyone's going to get pissed off in the shareholder market because they're not selling new devices and Apple needs to refresh the device every 12 to 18 months in order to make it relevant and get money from it. So I thought it said, listen, you know, we actually hadn't finished the watch when we shipped it. So now we've put this in and we've got functionality that the watch can operate autonomously. We've done two things. We've finished the watch, and now we've got an upgrade path that we have to follow because there's going to be a processor path that needs to be followed. But what was quite interesting is that no one picked up that the processor in the watch in any of the teardowns was big enough to carry its own apps. Everyone just looked at the watch and said it can't do anything. It's got to go back to the phone.
Yeah.
But clearly it's in there.
I'm not so sure about that. I mean,
well, you're a fanboy.
No, that's not it. I mean, to a certain degree, I want to agree. I mean, it would have been better if they had shipped it with a full OS. But on the other hand, if you look at what they are putting into WatchOS 2, it seems that there's a lot of stuff they have learned from the WatchKit, from developers, from users, what they actually want to do and how they want to use the thing. I mean, they knew from day one that they would ship, or I mean, we knew since September that they would eventually ship an WatchOS SDK. But I think it has gotten better because we got the earlier version. That's my feeling, and just reading between the lines what they said. But that's me.
Okay, anyone else?
What about third-party complications?
In terms of what?
Well, I think from a development perspective, you know, having those enabled now, I think it's going to be massive. You know, you potentially have a different clock face for one for traveling, one for at home or whatever, where you can select different complications, maybe get your flight or your train details. But I'm not sure what the development path is on those. I've not had a chance to read up on you know, how you actually develop them. But I think that's certainly going to be interesting for developers and you know, obviously better for us too.
Definitely.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's, complications are something that everybody screamed about from day one. And again, I'm going to assume because they were so fast with it that they kind of already had this in the pipeline. But DPEN kind of mentioned, and I partially agree with what DPEN said about the updated watchOS is what the watch should have launched with, but they didn't have the resources available to complete it. Apple got resources for days. I think, though, that they did have a timeline that they had set, and the timeline is based off of not getting in the way of other things that they have set. So, like, for instance, the watch couldn't have been parlayed until September or October because you need time to work out all of these minor minutiae so that when it is time for the real watch uptake, which is going to be October through December, that last money quarter, all of the headaches have been ironed out. So there's a reason why, even if you're only 92% done, or some would argue with me and say 50% done, they had to release it when they released it so that they can have everything smoothed out, that scratch gate and gold gate and douchebag analyst gate and all of this stuff Like, they can get all of that worked out, because when it's time to shop for Santa season, you cannot mess with Santa. Santa got to happen. So I think Watch came out exactly when it came out. And this is only going to drive it better, because now developers can be like, see, it's not just a cute little bugger on your wrist.
Mm. My feeling was that they shipped it a little bit later than they expected.
No, definitely. But I think your point was really valid, that you said, you know, if you don't ship it, you never will. You know, if you're always waiting for a final product, you never will do it. So I think they did take a decision to ship it and then put the obsolescence element into it afterwards. Because as it stands at the moment, there is nothing that would make this obsolete.
Because
it relies so heavily on the phone.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Anything else in Watch, really? I mean, it was generally all about, you know, the Watch gaining some autonomy, really, and not a lot much else to it, I suppose.
Yeah.
One thing that was interesting, I thought, just lastly, was if you've got if you're using, say, RunKeeper or something like that for your activity, is that now able to contribute to your activity circle in your progress? I thought that was quite interesting. I thought that's probably going to be useful for a lot of people if they do use something like RunKeeper instead of, you know, the inbuilt workout app.
Mm-hmm. And the Watch now can use Wi-Fi. So if you're in a known Wi-Fi, you don't necessarily need the phone anymore. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
I have no idea how that will actually work out with WatchKit apps, because I don't see how that would be possible. But for native apps, that was important.
Mm. Okay. iOS 9 came along.
I'm going to need to buy a big iPad. That's all I'm thinking.
Proactive Siri, mass transit, iPad multitasking, and more. The one thing that struck me there as being quite interesting was that iPad multitasking was iPad only, because I would have thought the 6 Plus was big enough to be able to multitask. And I don't know if they kind of withheld that on the basis that they want to promote more iPad sales. And if they put it on the 6 Plus, they'd kill iPad sales, especially 7-inch tablet. That was just a background thought, if you like, with that. But thoughts on iOS 9? Love it?
You know, the put two fingers on the keyboard to turn it into a trackpad. I thought that was really interesting.
That's really cool.
I think that's available on the iPhone as well as the iPad. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. The whole text selection thing has been one of the biggest pet peeves of mine ever. I mean, since they introduced it in, I don't know, iOS 3, because I always hated it. It was never really working that great. I tried the new one. It's way, way, way better. It's precise and everything. So thumbs up for that.
I think the new search functionality, even with the ability somewhat to go out and grab an API style search, do it securely, come back and then unsecure it to show you what you need to see, is going to be amazing. And that means when you search for stuff, you'll be able to see actually inside certain apps and whatnot. They want to keep it minimal offsite connectivity, like everything's going to happen in the phone, but there'll be ways for these guys to drop little indexes here and there that can update when you open an app. It might leave a little index with some updates and stuff. So this, I mean, that search thing is about to just get dumb. Like, I think that's really, really cool. And I think primarily the number one thing I am really, really looking for in iOS 9 is that all the iPad updates. And I'm a first time I'm going to agree with Ewan on something. I don't like to think that Apple ever holds anything back in order to stretch something or boost something. But if you had to do it, it would definitely be what they're doing with the iPad. And the fact that I got to go buy an upgraded iPad in order to get what I really want, which is that good split screen.
Yeah.
The thing you mentioned, the search and the fact that it's only on device. And I think the reason for that is if searching something on your device, you don't want to have to wait for remote content to be loaded. Because I mean, you would need to go to the app. The app would need to connect to whatever server it is using for the content, download it and hand it over to the search. And I don't think that is fast enough. So, I mean, we might get that eventually with network connectivity getting faster and just more reliable and everything, but I don't think we're there yet.
No, plus is there kind of whole thing on privacy, isn't it? I mean, There was their whole chat about, wasn't it, about leaving it on the device. It's like, we're not Google, effectively, is what they're saying, or Facebook, mm-hmm. or whoever. But I think the searching, I didn't really think of it, Doc, like you were talking about in terms of being able to search within apps. So I was just suddenly thinking, you know, if you use, say, Wunderlist or, you know, To-Do or any of those sort of apps, and you're looking for a particular mm-hmm. reminder, you're going to be able to search in Spotlight, and it should be able to pull into that app if they support it. So that's going to be great, actually, thinking about it.
Yeah.
Phil Schiller did a video this week, didn't he, talking about payoff of battery versus slimness and that kind of stuff. And iOS mm-hmm. 9, of course, had some improvements for battery life and that type of thing. I haven't watched that. I've seen the link and I haven't watched it yet. Has anyone watched that? Does it say anything interesting?
No, I haven't seen the link at all either. I guess I've been slipping.
Yeah, I listened to the audio version of it, just the talk show podcast. And yeah, it's an interesting conversation, actually. He did get pushed on the thinness, and it did sound to me like that they genuinely are not trying to get as thin as they can. They're just going as thin as as thin as they can without affecting the performance of the device. Because he did say about battery, and he was saying, well, battery's going to affect your weight and charge times and all this kind of stuff, was his argument. If you put a battery in it, a bigger battery, it's going to take longer to charge and it's going to be heavier. And they do test, you know, different weights and everything in the labs and stuff, but I definitely recommend people listening to it. You know, I listened to it a few days ago. I can't remember all the detail, but it's definitely worth a listen. There was no real kind of insights, I thought, from why Apple are doing things a certain way. There was a lot about the kind of the marketing and the way that they do that, but I thought it was quite interesting. But the battery saving, back to what you're saying, I think the battery saving looks great in the battery saving mode. And didn't they say that, you know, through their development, they're getting an extra, was it an hour battery life? Was it 3 hours on
power saving? Yeah, they're talking quite impressive extensions mm-hmm. to it, but those are like mileage tests in cars, isn't it? You know, it's performed on a road with a virtual person, not a real person, and the person's as light as they possibly can be, and so it's you know, it's the circumstances of that kind of test have to be really understood.
Although I have to say, Apple has been relatively good with their numbers. I mean, yes. Your mileage will
vary. They actually undersell.
Yeah.
One thing that I can say about battery life that just blew my mind yesterday, and I took a picture of it. Matter of fact, I should just post it to the chat room so you guys can see. Yesterday, something that I noticed that I haven't been able to see my phone do for quite a while, maybe since like two phones ago, I actually ran it down all the way to 1% left. And all the way, like before, you would get to like 4 or 5 and it would tank. Now, here's an iPhone 6 Plus that's creeping on 9 months old. And, no, wait, it's all older than that. Well, anyway, I got it day one. So I think it's like 10 months old now. For it to get down to 1% and not even shut off, like that was amazing to me because that hasn't happened for a while. You would see some phones hit 20 and just tank. So they, definitely with the OS, they've been doing some tweaking to get battery life to work, you know, as should.
Well, so to be fair, though, the battery meter was never accurate because there was always complaints, wasn't it, about the battery meter going down to like 60 steadily, and then all of a sudden it would stay there for 60 forever, and then it would suddenly hop to 20. So I don't think the batteries, I think they probably improved accuracy of the battery meter. But the other thing is as well, because it's a lithium polymer battery, they can't, that 1% that you saw can't be any less than probably 15%, because if you take it below 15%, you run the risk that the battery won't come back up. So that battery meter isn't metering the battery.
I think they did make some changes to the battery.
It's metering probably about 80% of the battery, if you like. Mm-hmm. And that 100% is at 100, and the 1% is actually at about 20% of the battery, otherwise it would not recharge again. You certainly couldn't put 12 watts into it, the 2-amp charger, because you'd have to charge it incredibly slowly to make sure you didn't burst the battery. It gets really low. I know this from experience.
So, totally makes sense too, because no, you definitely can blow camera batteries that way and just ruin a camera. So yeah, it totally makes sense. The one thing that we didn't talk about yet that I want to talk about, because I know that Patrice is on the same tip as me when it comes to this particular thing.
Yeah.
I consume lots and lots and lots and lots of news. And the news we have apps for years that can do all these various things. It's kind of nice, A, to have a native app that does it. And B, like Apple just seemed to sit around and wait and fix all the things I hated about Flipbook. Or what was the other one called? I want to call it Pulse.
Pulse,
yeah. Yeah, like, oh my God. This is like the best of Flipbook and Feedly and Pulse and even Facebook's paper, like all rolled up into one neat little bundle. And I can't wait for that.
I mean, I don't know whether I will actually use it. I mean, I will give it a try and we'll see about it. But I am insanely excited about it because, I mean, what that means for the industry is that Apple hasn't abandoned news and Apple is willing to put something in front of a lot of people that is worth their time and that might excite a few people who right now get their news from Facebook or Twitter or just, I don't know, Google searches or I don't know how other people find their news. But yeah, I mean, Apple is willing to get those people excited for news again. And I think that's great. Whether it works out or not, we'll see.
I'm a big Flipboard user. I really like that interface compared to reading something like an RSS, an RSS reader app. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this compares with Flipboard.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, news was quite interesting, but I didn't feel like the only thing I felt with news that it was kind of like newsstand is pretty much incredibly poorly subscribed, not really well used in comparative terms.
Yeah.
Therefore, it needs a reinvention.
I mean, why is that? Working. Because the apps that 99% of the apps that were newsstand apps were pretty bad. And I think Apple noticed that and realized that they had to do something to make the whole experience of reading news better. And that's their solution.
Yeah, and they even went by they even made it easier to publish and stuff like that in order to make it better for the news. Like you said, the newsstand app was that was a special creature.
It's not even the newsstand app itself. I think that was a result of, Apple wanting to hide the news kit or the newsstand apps itself. I mean, the ones the publishers or the newspapers, magazines create.
I think got it right and some got it wrong, definitely. Some were kind of just like bloated PDFs.
Yeah. I would say one of them I
contributed
to
a couple of times was the Loop magazine, Jim Dalrymple's, and that's fantastic the way he did that one.
Mentioning no names, what?
He put a lot of thought into that one.
Yeah. You know what's funny is another good one that's kind of unsung right now, but I think it's going to be a big deal come September, is the move to iOS to make it simpler for people that want to make the switch to just jump right over. Because there's a lot of work done in the Apple stores with the Sellbrite machines and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then most people's biggest fear of changing phones. It's not really hardware or being married to a particular piece of hardware. It's about, like, when I make this change, how much of my crap am I going to lose? And then so this seems like a really, really good tool. And I think something that's it may help, you know, with the sales and things like that.
Mm. Do you mean the Android transfer tool?
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, it does look pretty smart, actually.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Apple is really good at, making stuff as simple as possible for people. And I know quite a few people who would consider moving over to iOS because they like the devices more, but they fear losing data, so they will never do it. And this app might enable them, because if it's as easy as it looks like, they should be able to do it.
Mm. We shall see. We shall see.
Yeah.
Now then, have you heard of MacFun Software? MacFun.com.
Of course we have.
You have, right. MacFun makes some fantastic products. They're focused generally. You'll have heard of Snapseed. That's one of theirs. And there's a whole pile of others. Noiseless, we talked about the other week as well. And that was, Adam showed me a picture from that, and I've had a go since, and wow, that blew me away. That really is good quality software. The one that we want to show you today, which is really, really cool, is Focus. And if you go to macfun.com/focus, you can have a look at what Focus is. Now, generally speaking, if you pay a bit more for a lens, you'll get a lower f-stop rating. because the lenses are harder and more expensive to produce. It, certainly if you're talking about big focal lengths. So, you know, to get that kind of professional look to your photos where you've got something very sharp in focus and then the background's all knocked out to a nice bokeh type blur, you're probably going to pay a fortune for a lens. Or you can use focus. And what focus does is it lets you highlight areas that you want to keep in focus and then the other areas that you want to allow to go naturally into a blended defocus. So you can get that expensive looking shot, that very pro looking shot with very shallow depth of field, but in the software process. So you can use your 3.5 to 5.6 or your 5.6 to 6.3 lens and still get that really good sharp 2.8 f-stop look. Yeah. Would you like to own that? Because that's the sponsor today is MacFun. They are going to say to you, here you go, try focus for us. And you'd be going, okay, yeah, but how much does it cost? Well, here's the best bit, because actually MacFun in I think they're looping myself but every single copy, every single BTN listener rather, will get a free copy of MacFun.com focus. You will get it free of charge. Absolutely no cost. If you would like a copy of Focus, it is yours with nothing to pay, courtesy of our friends at MacFun.com. They have given a copy away, full working copy, no limitation, like 30 days and then it blips out. This is a full working copy that is yours and yours to keep forever, thanks to MacFun. Wow. Unbelievable. Thank you so much, Kevin, and all the team down at MacFun, because it's absolutely fantastic. And you're going, well, okay, how do I get that? Dead simple. Go to macfun.com/BTN. MacFun is MacFun.com/BTN. And you will get a free copy. Give them your name, give them your email, and they will email you the link to download the full working software. Keep the file, and it's yours. You can run it as much as you like and get as much use out of it as you like, and it is completely free of charge. I was blown away by that, I've got to say. Free
software. It's so I spent all day yesterday playing around with it.
You got it last night, didn't you? It's on the big show.
Yeah.
There you go. I was blown away by that. I thought that was particularly awesome. Well done. Oh, hang on. My continuity's gone because Doc's screen is... Oh, jeez. I knew something was going to go wrong. Knew it. Just knew it. Because it didn't save it.
Yeah, my screen got pushed to the bottom.
Okay. Rough. Yeah. So I was blown away by that. I thought that was pretty awesome. Thank you very much to MacFun. Superb. All I would ask, please, is that you bother to send a tweet out. It's WeAreMacFun, @WeAreMacFun on Twitter. And just when you've downloaded it and you've got it all and it's working just fine, send them a tweet saying thank you so much for your sponsorship of the network, because they are absolutely superb. And Kevin and all the team down there have done a great job. So thank you ever so much, MacFun. And BTN listeners, please enjoy it. Please be grateful. Don't be a troll. Right. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. And my picture for UK2's disappeared. That's a bit weird, but never mind. UK2 are fantastic. They sponsor us. They do all of the bandwidth. They do all of the hosting and that kind of stuff. We had a little bit of a glitch yesterday. We copped a bit of a fault on our part. We raised the wrong ticket. Instead of raising a dedicated server ticket, we raised a general support ticket, which went to the wrong team, which is why the website was off all day. As soon as we raised the dedicated support ticket, 30 minutes later, we're up back and running. Superb, superb customer service. Check them out, britishjetnetwork.com/sponsors, and you can find the stuff for UK2 there, including the offer codes, and get loads. The .UK thing is a year old at the moment. I think they've got 50% off at the moment, so you... should be great on that. And also thanks to 100tb.com, because they sponsor the live show. Everything that you see here is live broadcast out on a 100tb server that starts at $139 a month, and it goes to the world in 2 seconds. Everyone in the world gets this 2 seconds after I say it. You don't even get broadcast television that works like that. I watched the cricket on Tuesday, and I watched what was actually happening right in front of me. And then looking at my phone for the Sky Sports stuff, And it was like a 3-minute delay before it turned up on Sky Sports after it had actually happened live. So it just made me realise how great 100 TB are and how much they do for us. So please, please, please go and support them. We love them to bits. Brilliant. Now then, it's time for the cool thing. Starting us off, top left, it's Lee. Tell us what you've got, buddy.
Okay, so I've put my links in the chat room. I've got a couple of things. One is just a kind of interesting site that I came across reading the sites this week was the Apple Maps doing their street view. If you go to maps.apple.com/vehicles, it yep. shows a list of everywhere that they're scanning on particular week and particular weeks.
Oh, cool.
So I've put that link in. You should see that in there, Ewan. But yeah, I just thought that was a kind of an interesting one that I came across.
Are they coming past the Prime HQ?
Well, that's what I was looking at. I could see Birmingham in there.
If they come past Prime HQ, we've got to go out with a big BTM banner.
Yeah, definitely.
Or we know it is.
It's got this kind of start and end dates to when they're doing their scanning. My kind of actual pick, though, this one in tradition is on Prime. So sorry, heads up on that one. This is a battery case. So if I just show you on video. So this is by Anker. This is one that I picked up. It was 44% off at the moment on Amazon, mm-hmm. £35 instead of 80. And it's a 2,850 milliamp battery pack, basically. It's quite light. It's not thin, you know, all of them are quite thick, but it doesn't add a lot of weight. And I just use it when I go out to sporting events and things like that. I've always carried a Mophie, just a little juice pack that you plug in the bottom. But I thought I'd give this one a go because it got really good reviews.
Dude, you've broken the rules.
I know, sorry. It's hard to find anything that's not on Prime. this is one that gets good reviews everywhere I've looked. So I definitely recommend. That's the Anker iPhone. This is iPhone 6, the one I've got. I'm not sure if they do a 6 Plus version, so you might be okay even if they haven't got a
6 Plus version. I'll check that out and see what it got.
I recommend that one.
So that's an extra charge plus 120%.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, I dropped my phone to zero today, actually, but just to test it again. And you literally just press a button on the back. You get a little blue light. I don't know if you can see that on my screen, but you get a little blue light, and then it just starts charging. And I got full charge out of it. I'm still going, and it's quite good because at the bottom you've got just a USB micro USB, so yeah. You can just leave it on the phone if you want to, and it'll charge the battery pack and the phone. So
the thing that's quite interesting with that kind of stuff, though, is I've never actually run out of charge on my 6 Plus. I've never even got close to running out of charge on it, even on
days where I don't know if it's irrelevant with the 6 Plus, to be honest. It's just things like, you know, I go to air shows or to Grand Prix and stuff like that, and you haven't really got anywhere to power your phone. So I've always just kept a little power brick, you know, one of the little Mophie ones in my camera bag. So when I saw these, I'd been eyeing them up for a while, the Mophie ones, but they were always so expensive. So when I saw this one, you know, 35 quid instead of 80, and all the reviews were good, Mophie's, I thought, yeah, I'll just give it a go. And
Mophie's are great, really, but they are a bit overpriced. And Anker make fantastic stuff. I've got one of their multi-point chargers. They're brilliant.
Yeah, I don't
have a new Anker. They have a brand new Anker that's 2,700 milliamps. It's called the Anker something 7. Like, it's pretty ridiculous. Let me find it. But yet their batteries are light for the power. Yeah. That's what's so amazing about them.
Well, one thing just it's not really a pick, but it's kind of a tip. I had a problem with my phone yesterday, so I do a restore on it, and I found that if you've paired a watch to a phone, the only way to repair that watch is to reset the watch as well. Yeah. So you need to, there's stuff like the health information, you know, the activity tracking, all that stuff is stored in iCloud backup or an encrypted backup in iTunes. If you haven't got an encrypted backup with an iTunes, you won't have that data. So it's just something to bear in mind. If you do think, I want to try the iOS 9, or, you know, if you do need if you need to format it, you need to format it. You know, if you need to restore your phone, you have to do it sometimes. But if you're thinking about playing around with, say, the iOS 9, just bear in mind that you are going to have to reset your watch as well.
Excellent.
Yes. And don't do it unless you got guts. It's really irky when people download it and goes, this sucks. I'm like, it's beta, you stupid.
I know, I hate that. You hear that rumors and it's like, oh, I've got battery issues.
It's Anker A7 is what it is. It's the Anker Astro E7 and it's 25,600 milli.
Wow.
Like that's called traveling to like freaking El Capitan.
Hold on.
And it weighs
You could probably use a USB-C connector and charge your MacBook with it.
You can.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. 450 grams. I don't know what that translates out to English. But anyway, it's only $80.
Excellent. Okay. That's good. Superb. Thank you very much. Now then, would you like one of the caricatures that we've got? Because they're awesome. Len Peralta does them for us. And there's me on the pre-start Mac Show thing with the sticker bomb artwork in the background. And everyone that sees that goes, oh, Christ, that's you. That's absolutely you through and through. So it definitely is me. Well, here's the latest one. This is Muller Biker in the chat room. And I promise you, that is exactly him. That is exactly what he looks like. It is a fantastic character. Len has really, really got him on that. So Muller Biker paid Len to do his caricature. Now, if you pay Len Peralta to do your caricature, we get a copy of it. And if we get a copy of it, you get your Access All Areas pass. You get your Twitter avatar if you really want it. And you also get sticker bomb artwork so that you can make the backing cover or something for an iPad or something like I've done for my MacBook here with mine on it. What you also get, and this is Muller's on foam board, you also get on the Hall of Fame. Which is actually the Wall of Shame. hang on, let me just, because this didn't edit before, of course. Like a Muppet. There we go. And thanks to the transition there from Canon. There you go. That is the, here at BTN Prime HQ, that is the Wall of Shame. And if you buy a caricature from Len, not only do you get a caricature that is absolutely you, that is absolutely fantastic, but you get yourself on the BTN Wall of Shame with the rest of us. You'll be on there with the likes of Tom Merritt, Greenie, Kyle Wieters, myself, and also you'll get Andy Anatko. You'll be on the wall with him, and you'll be on the wall with Doc and Adam and Righty. There you go. And plenty of
I get to be next to Andy?
You're, wow. you're underneath, Andy. So.
We're in the Red Sox
Andy
section.
And Adam.
In the Red Sox section, yeah. So that's what it looks like at the moment in my hallway here at BTN Prime HQ. And what we're going to do as well is if you make the pilgrimage, which of course every BTN listener has to do at some point, if you make the pilgrimage to Prime HQ, you get to sign your caricature, and then you've got even more specialness associated with it. So all the others that are well, at the moment we've only got those 10 up. We've got 10 more being done of the current team as well, and we've also got all the ones that everyone's bought, and all of those are going up this week as well. So there you go.
Philip Biker says he wants to be next to Greeny.
The thing is, we've got to kind of put the core team up, if you like, of the presenters, and then it's going to go out to everyone else is going to go on. So but yes, no problem.
That's super funny.
But well, that's,
Greeny have a BlackBerry.
That's what it looks like. That's an actual photograph taken this morning down in the hallway here at BTN HQ Prime. There you go. So send me an email to btncaricatures@gmail.com and I'll send you instructions how to get Len to do your caricature for you and how to you to get on that wall of fame. The only thing is, if you don't get a reply, it's because you spelt caricatures wrong. You know who you are, by the way. That's a comment for someone. Doc, what have you got for us, sir?
Okay, so my cool thing is this trackpad stand that's made by GroveMade is probably one of the sexiest things that you're going to see on your desk.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny because I'm on one hand praying for the new trackpad to come out soon and get all of the benefits of the touch sensitiveness, but I'm probably going to drop a 60 on this trackpad thing because it is absolutely gorgeous. Place to hide some extra batteries and a little bit of stash. If you're from Honolulu, yours won't be paperclips, but it's really, really, really cool. And if you have any of their stuff, I have their keyboard riser. So it's neat because they're going to match right up. I've thought about picking up the Desk Riser because I'm planning on switching to an iMac. But they just make gorgeous stuff. If you like to look swanky and polished, these guys are it. It's all made in Kelly's backyard somewhere in Portland. So if you need any support, you just tell Kelly to go knock on their door because she's right down the street from them. But I love their stuff. These guys are amazing. They always make cool stuff.
Does look very nice. Is it actually wood or is it effect?
It's wood. It's all the way wood. If you watch, there's videos on there where they show you how they use their CNC machines, and a lot of it is hand done. So there's the CNC machine does the basic stuff, and then all of the refinery is handled literally by their engineers. So if you click onto the first link at the top, the Grove Made logo itself, and then scroll down about halfway to the page, you'll see one of the engineers basically handcrafting the CNC machine. And yeah, they do it hand sanded. Like they're pretty cool. Yeah. So you can, there's stuff on their website that shows you how they do it. Maybe the sexiest stuff available for your desktop anywhere. And then because I had to break the rule, I poo-pooed this when it first came out. I thought it was kind of silly. And then I stole it off of Jerome and I wore it around for a day. So Spigen, if you see the one, there you go. Spigen put out this impact resistant little condom that you slip around the front of your watch to keep you from banging into stuff. And I'm like, man, the whole point of the watch is so elegant and sexy and small. Like, why in earth would you want to put, you know, this on your wrist and make it bulky? Well, it turns out it's not bulky and it's actually rather small. And if you pop over to my own Instagram feed there, you will find out. I put it side by side yesterday. It doesn't make that big a difference. I just dropped that in the chat real quick for anyone who wants to catch up on it. It's only $14 and it doesn't make the watch feel clunky at all. It feels almost exactly like the watch, but it will save you from whacking into stuff. And I find that when I walk on a wall, if say the four of us are walking in line and I'm the guy stuck walking next to the wall, I put my arm behind my back because
yeah,
I have hit the wall like four times already. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I now do. Or
you know when you're in trouble in school and you're standing in front of the headmistress and you like gotta hold your wrist together, you know, yeah. They make you put your arms in front and have your head down. I find myself walking around like that because
or to the back.
Yeah, I'm kind of sort of walking around like this all the time, or put my hand in my back because I have hit the watch, no scratches yet, thank goodness. Yeah. But I am probably going to buy one of these irking looking nerd condoms for the watch.
Excellent, mate. Superb. The chat room is pouring derision on it, though. Unfortunately, they're saying Casio Iron Man.
True. That's what it looks like.
Excellent. Are you coming to the bash? Because the bash... Oh, there it goes. There it disappears. Are you coming to the bash? The bash is the 3rd and 4th of July. We've paid for the venue, so we're committed to it, regardless of who comes now. If you are thinking of coming, you really, really should. It is a great Geeks Day. There's loads of guys there and girls who are really into their tech. You'll have some great conversations. We've got some fun stuff going on in the periphery, if you like. You know, there'll be some kids there because people can bring their families, and it's a load of fun for them. But, you know, it doesn't mean by any means define the day. You know, the Geeks element is what defines the day. We'll talk podcasting. We'll do the Max show. We'll do the Big show. We'll do stuff from there that we'll post out on the network. And it really is a wonderful, wonderful, fun day out. For £20, you don't need any food. You don't need any beer or drinks or anything like that. Everything's provided. Soft drinks, water, beers, wine, spirits, anything you want to drink is going to be there. And it's all included in the price. And the food is to die for. A lady named Leanne does it, and she's absolutely incredible. So that's the bash. It is Saturday, the 4th of July. If you need to come and you're thinking, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the missus to go. It's my 18th wedding anniversary. So if I can get my wife to agree to let me do the bash on the 18th wedding anniversary, you can at least bother to get your ass up to Birmingham and have a bit of fun. All right? Let's put it in context. And then if you fancy it, Friday, the 3rd, is the curry. But what we're going to do is we're going to do the Mac show live from BTN Prime HQ right here. And if you want to come along and sit in, you can all cluster around the back of me, or you can go and sit in the studio in the other room and watch the feed live. Or you can join in with some commentary. Don McAllister is going to be here. He's going to open the premises officially as well. He'll cut his red ribbon and do his best impression of the Queen. And it should be a shed load of fun here too. And then when we finish at the Mac show, we'll shut everything down and we'll waddle over to the Kismet and eats the best curry in the world. If you want to come to the curry thing, it's 10 quid. That is not the price of the curry. That is just to reserve a seat so that we get enough people in there, because there is a limit. And that 10 quid will come off your bill at the end that we split between us. So it's dead easy. Is it little Ewan's birthday again? No, that's the following week. It's the 11th. So we're doing it on my birthday, my anniversary this year. It's my, not next year, but the year after. It's my 50th. So wow. I think we're going to move. Is that wow? I didn't think you were that old. Or wow, Jesus Christ, that's old. Thanks, Patrice, I think. But we're going to do, I think we're going to move it to August, just because of the fact that we're going to coincide it with my birthday. So it looks like I've got loads of friends when I haven't really. Patrice, do you have a cool thing?
Of course I have, and it's something that's kind of apropos this week, because it's the WWDC app from Apple. I mean, it's probably not for you if you're not the developer, or at least interested in the more technical stuff. I mean, some sessions are, I would say in general, also interesting if you're not a developer, just to see what Apple is doing. But overall, it's probably more for the developer types. But this app, I mean, it's cool. You can favorite the sessions you want to watch. You can download them on your iPad or iPhone and watch them later. And it's just a simple but well-designed app. And I mean, it was really useful this week.
Excellent. Very, very good.
It's funny, Patrice. I was going to pick the same thing, and I was like, that's going to be... But no, even if you... Like, I would tell somebody, if you are more of a hardcore user, it's fun to sign up for the developer account. It's worth the $99 just out of being nosy. Because you can learn so much more about your stuff from that.
I did it for
and,
you.
And Patrice, you're responsible for going to the Bass since Jerome and I will be in Japan. And I looked up the price. That it's going to cost you about €80 to get a ticket from Koblenz to Birmingham City Center.
That would be the easy part. The hard part is having time because of my new job and everything.
Dude, the Germans haven't flown over Birmingham City Center since 1944, mate. So there ain't nothing flies into middle of Birmingham, mate. But if you want to come, mate, you'll always find a place to stay.
Yeah. About it. I still have to check whether that will be.
It's Saturday. Just go. Yeah. Hang the Mag Youth banner and cover it for us.
Ryanair flies as well.
No.
Ryanair don't often fly to many decent cities, but they do actually fly to Birmingham. That's the thing.
Well, like you said. Never mind.
My cool thing, and this follows on a little bit from Lee, is Dive City Roller Coaster, Dive City Coaster. There you go. And Dive City Coaster is built to go with Google Cardboard. And It is awesome, because you're in the cable car there going through the roller coaster. And as you look around, you can look around in the whole city, and there's the Burj Khalifa is in there and that kind of stuff. And it runs around the roller coaster. And while it's running around the roller coaster, you can move your head around, and it is vomit inducing. It is absolutely fantastic.
I was just going to ask that. Do you get your motion sickness?
Well, no, the wife had to stop. She said, I can't do that. There you go. But it goes with Google Cardboard. But it is Dive City Coaster. That's the one you want to look for. On iTunes. It is absolutely stunning. I couldn't get over. I was looking around like I was just completely immersed in it. I gave it to Ellis, and Ellis wouldn't let go of it. I want to stay on it. I want to stay on it. He felt like he was on a roller coaster. And it was interesting as well, looking at him on the sofa while he was doing it. He sat on the sofa, and he's he's all over the shop moving with the roller coaster, despite the fact he knows damn well he's not moving. But oh, here we go. Ta-da. It's awesome. Google Cardboard is the best £8 I've spent this year. Thank you, Lee, for your recommendation.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? I'm still using mine.
I absolutely adore it. It was great fun. There's some stuff out there that's really cool. There's like a tunnel app that you can use, which just dives through the tunnel constantly as you move your head. That's pretty shit.
Did you do the Formula One? Did you get the
I haven't found the Formula One one. No.
That's pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. I need to find that. Send me a link for that, because that would be that would be superb. But that was the Dive City roller coaster was awesome, and there was a duck shooting one as well, which was great until you shot all the ducks, and then it wouldn't restart, which I couldn't get. But never mind. Cool. Where can we get a hold of you, chaps? Lee, episode 5 of the Guitar Show is up.
Cheers. Yeah. So best place for me is Twitter, LJPUK. I'm obviously on BritishTechNetwork.com and LJPUK.com as well for my on my writing stuff.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Doc, where would you be?
You can find me anywhere on the Twitters at Doc Rock, on MacUser.pro with Patrice, and on the BTN network at random various spots.
Excellent, mate. And Patrice, where would you be?
You can find me on Twitter at casual_kitchen. You can find my random writing at thepatrice.com. And you can find me on macuser.pro and deconstruct.tv.
Excellent, mate. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can find me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Don't forget, if you'd like your free software from MacFun, it's macfun.com/BTN. And we'll be back again next week, making up the Mac news that isn't there and going back to rumours, because there's absolutely sod all happened. Hope we have a great week. See you then. Thanks for listening.